President Ford has. The result, he has vetoed 56 or 57 bills. 40-some have been sustained by the Congress. It saved the taxpayers somewhere between $9 and $10 billion. So I just suggest it's very serious business. We've made mistakes. We're not perfect. You wouldn't agree with everything we said. But you've got to make a judgment. What did Governor Carter say about embargoes? I was out there. I was in Iowa. He came to the state fair, had a great crowd of farmers. Said, you elect Carter and the embargoes will be ended. And his words were, once and for all. But then some reporter from the Des Moines Register said, do you really mean that, Governor? This was a little later. He said, well, maybe not. Maybe in some cases you would have embargoes. He said in this month's Reader's Digest that one of the causes of inflation was excessive. He used the word excessive. Sales of wheat to Russia, which means he would have stopped some of those sales to Russia. So don't be hoodwinked. Don't be hoodwinked by somebody who promises you everything and no sacrifices. It just doesn't happen that way. And you look at the Republican platform. We don't offer any vast new spending programs. We don't offer new bureaus or new agencies or new bureaucracy. We want to move in the other direction for America. Yes, for the Democrats and the Republicans and the independents. Because we think, and most Americans think, that our government is too big now, and that it takes too many tax dollars, your tax dollars. And so when Governor Carter stands before you and said, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do this for you, he's not going to do anything for you. You're going to do it for yourself. What he's saying is, I'm going to take your tax money and I'm going to run it through this bureaucracy and send you back whatever may be left. Now, in my estimation, and in the estimation of most Americans, that's not the kind of leadership we're looking for. We've had enough of that. So the choice is yours. The choice is yours. I was in the Senate, I haven't been there much lately. I've been out campaigning, and Senator Mondale's campaigning. I walked into the Senate floor about a month ago, and Senator McGovern was speaking. He said, now, gentlemen, let me tax your memories. And Kennedy jumped up and said, why haven't we thought of that before? So I say to those who are concerned about the free enterprise system, and I might tell my chamber friends that I've been needling the Chamber of Commerce in a few spots in this country to get off their chamber and get to work. And so I'm very pleased to be here tonight. I'm glad to see some businessmen with initiative, because it's good for you, it's good for labor, it's good for agriculture, it's good for education, and it's about time. Because everyone has a stake in America. And I've said in the past, I commend George Meade and other labor leaders. I don't think they speak for the rank-and-file union man. He's concerned about spending. She's concerned about spending. They're concerned about gun controls. They're concerned about a strong defense. They want this country to be free. They have children, too, you know. So when Governor Carter trots around the country in 72, he said, don't take anything out of defense. It would be a mistake. And then in 75, when he's gearing up for the presidency and all the liberals are clamming, take it out of defense, take it out of defense, he said, well, we ought to cut $15 billion out of defense. And now he's saying $5 to $7 billion out of defense. Well, I just suggest to this audience, young, middle-aged, and other alike, sure, take it out of defense. If it's waste, if it's duplication, take it out of defense or education or agriculture or whatever. But I haven't seen the Russians take anything out of defense. I haven't seen the Chinese taking anything out of defense. And I've sort of got another gut feeling. If we want to have peace in this world, We've got to remain number one for the sake of peace. Not for the sake of war, but for the sake of peace. And so if Governor Carter comes to town, or Senator Mondale, ask him how they're going to cut defense. And they're going to tell you, well, we're not going to do anything. We're going to be the strongest nation in the world. And he's going to say, I'm a conservative. That's Carter. Let me tell you, the New York Liberal Party doesn't endorse conservatives. And they endorsed Carter 2 weeks ago. They don't endorse moderates. They don't endorse almost liberals. You've got to be a litmus paper liberal to be endorsed by the New York Liberal Party. And conservatives don't put Mondales on their tickets. He's got a COPE rating higher than George Meany, 95. He's got a 94 ADA rating. That's not the American Dairy Association. That's the Americans for Democratic Action, the most liberal group in America. And then Governor Carter rushes out to Seattle to satisfy the liberal just one more time, to prove that he's really a liberal. And he uses the American Legion platform to do it. He knew what he was doing. He stands before the Legionnaires, looking beyond the Legionnaires to the liberals in America, and says, I'm not for a general amnesty, but I'm for a general pardon. Well, I got my dictionary out, and it says amnesty means pardon. Let me tell you, the Ford Dole administration is against general pardons, general amnesty, and general clemencies. I'm going to concern myself. There are still hundreds missing in action in Southeast Asia. Some may be alive. And I think we've got to get our priorities right in America, and I think I have my priorities right. I'm going to concern myself first with those forgotten Americans rather than those who forgot America in a time of need, and that's what it's all about. And let me conclude on a note about tax reform, because some here may want their taxes raised. Anybody want their taxes raised? We have a doctor standing by. If you hold up your hand, we'll get treatment to you as soon as we can. Now, Governor Carter gave an interview to the Associated Press. He's been giving so many interviews lately, it's just hard to find them all. Some are stuck in between pictures. You hardly ever get to the article. But he said to the Associated Press, he's tried to weasel out of it by saying he left out two words and they agreed with him. He should have left out the whole interview. But he said, I didn't say it, Jerry Ford didn't say it, Carter said it. He said those in the higher incomes above the median income ought to have their taxes increased. And only he made one mistake, he didn't know what he was talking about again. He didn't know what the median income was for American families. The median income for American families is $14,000. Not quite $14,000, according to 75 figures. That doesn't include just the husband or the wife, that's both if they're working. That's a working family. Now, he says he didn't mean that. Mondale rushed up to Maine and said he meant $50,000. All I say is look at what he said. If he didn't mean it, he had poor judgment. He also said in that interview, which I think ought to be important to farmers and businessmen and others, that we're going to tax all income the same. Now, some people in this audience buy stocks, and some buy bonds, and some buy property. And some hold them for a period of time, and then they get what they call capital gains treatment. But not if Governor Carter has his way, because all income is going to be treated the same. He said it, I didn't say it. That's the same man who said that the national tax system is a disgrace. Remember when he said that when he was coronated in New York? It was very touching. It was an inspiration. In fact, I even turned my set up so I could hear it. Then a week later, where was he? He was up in New York having dinner with a group of small businessmen hosted by Henry Ford. Which of those small businessmen he talks about, the men he represents? We're the party, the fat cats, big business, big farmers, you name it. There he was with Henry and some others in a little club called the 21 Club. I don't know what goes on there, but they read a lot. So don't worry about any tax change. I'm going to look at it for a year. So I just say to this audience, how much can you stand? How long do you have to wait? When is Carter going to lay it on the line? Don't you think it's about time he laid it on the line? Well, I've talked too long, and maybe I've said something, or maybe I've said nothing. Maybe I've said too much. Someone asked me how I got on the ticket. More asking that every day as I travel around. I don't know what happened, but on August 19th, I was in Kansas City. I'd been there for the convention as a delegate, the first time I'd ever been a delegate to a national convention. And everybody had their lists, and they were sending these lists out. And if you weren't on somebody's list, you didn't have a chance, so I made up some lists of my own. And I put lists out everywhere, and I put on these lists, outstanding, could help the president in agricultural areas, long experience, talented wife, daughter's about to graduate, all these little things that I thought would be helpful. But we forgot to distribute any to the president's hotel, so that didn't work. So I thought it was probably all over. But the next morning, on the early news, the announcer said that the list had been narrowed to four. One was Ann Armstrong, an outstanding lady, an ambassador. And whoever was selected had to be back in Kansas City by noon. Well, I knew she was in Scotland. And so we scratched her name on the list. I didn't see how she could get back from London to Kansas City in 4 hours. I don't care which way she was flying. Another name was Bill Ruckelshaus from Indiana, an outstanding Republican. Right. But he was up in Tacoma, Washington. Besides, his name is pretty long for a button, so I didn't think he would get back in time. And that left Senator Baker and Senator Dole, and I said to my wife, Elizabeth, if they don't go in alphabetical order, we've got a chance. So shortly after that, the press started gathering in the hallway, and our room was right next to to John Conley's suite. And I just figured that, well, Conley's going to be it. But after a while, I said, Elizabeth, go put your ear to the door and see what they're saying. That's legal in Kansas City if you listen from the inside out. And my name was mentioned. We don't know whether it was the bellboy or somebody was serving pineapple juice in the hallway, but just on the strength of that, I started shaving, getting ready in case the phone would ring. And the phone did ring. We made certain nobody was on it. And the president called, and I want to confess that I did accept before I identified myself, because I was so close to Conley's suite, I thought he might have gotten the wrong number. So I said yes, and that's when it happened. And I'm very proud to be on the ticket with President Ford. We're going to win this election on November 2nd. All the movement's in our direction. It's going to happen on November 2nd. And we're going to hang on to Mary Lou Kent's apron strings or any other way to win on November 2nd. We see Big Jim Thompson running away with everything in the state of Illinois. Governor. And what's good for Illinois is good for America. And the same is true in Missouri with this outstanding young governor, Kit Bond. He's going to be a big help to the ticket. And they're going to help. And therefore, these four-letter words, Ford and Dole, that's two you can get used to and say. But we can't win it without your help, and that's the note I want to end on. We can't win it without your help. I ask you with all the sincerity I can muster to take a look at us as men running for the highest office in America, keeping in mind that we're human, keeping in mind that we're not perfect, but also keeping in mind that as far as I'm concerned and President Ford's concerned, we haven't promised anything except good, sound, responsible, fiscal government. And that's what most Americans want. And if you believe in us, if you believe we offer the best hope for America for the next 4 years, you know, I figured out if Ford makes it, I'm going to make it. So if you really believe that that's our best hope for the next 4 years, don't wait till November 2nd. Let's go to work now for President Ford. Let's talk to our friends and our neighbors. Yes, the Democrats and the Republicans and the independents and the union members and the farmers and the blacks and the Spanish-speaking Americans. That's what it's all about. Thank you.